Blog Talk Radio.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there is a better way to work.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the Engage for Success Radio Show. And this is, I was about to say show number, and now I can't remember what number it is. Show number 11, so we've been going for a little while now. I'm the host for today, Jo Dodds. I'm a social media consultant, and I work with Engage for Success on the social media. And we've got Ali Godding, who you may remember from last week, who is on our Google Plus page. So she's sort of running the back channel. So if there's people listening live and you want to ask questions or join in the conversation on Google Plus, then if you go to our Blog Talk Radio page, which I guess you're on to have got to listen, there's a link on there to the Google Plus community and the event in there. Of course, if you'd like to call in, that would be brilliant. The call-in number is it's an American number, so it's +1 347 237 4274. It'd be great if there's somebody listening who would like to come and join in and ask some questions and speak to our guest. So our guest is here, and I'll do his formal introduction a bit later, but I'll just say for now hello to Francis Goss from Grassroots. Hi, Francis.
Hi, Joe.
You okay today?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well. Enjoying the spring sunshine. I'll say enjoying it, looking out at it anyway.
It looks like it's spring, doesn't it, until you walk outside
and then
realise how flipping freezing it still is. Of course, that's in the UK. I'm sure there are other people elsewhere where it's really lovely. But, it isn't lovely, isn't it? The sun, it's good to see the sun. So we were at the Guru Group meeting on Friday, weren't we, Francis?
We were indeed, yeah. Really good meeting.
Great meeting, wasn't it? There was just so much energy in the room, I thought.
Yeah, and great surroundings as well at Ashridge Business School.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we were at Ashridge Business School, which is in, is it Hertfordshire?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Near Berkhamsted. And it's apparently it was a property where Elizabeth I lived before she got taken off to the Tower. It's an amazing, sprawling, castle-like, stately home-type building. I don't know, it was just so amazing, wasn't it, to be there.
Yeah.
So, Francis, you've been to a number of guru meetings, having been involved with the movement from the beginning. So how do you think it measured up? It was my second one, and obviously I'm more involved now than I was when I came before. To me, it seemed like it was even more full of energy, and you know, people were really excited about what was happening. But as I say, I wasn't involved as much before, so I probably have a different perspective.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was the fourth guru meeting I've been to. There tend to be about 100-150 people that attend each one. And obviously we cover off different topics. The one we had previously was really focused a lot on Go Live, because it was just pre the Go Live event at the QE2,
mm-hmm.
and how we as a community were going to help support that whole process of raising the profile across the UK. The meeting on Friday, the title of it was Employee Engagement, What Next for 2013? So, you know, post Go Live, where to now? And David gave a really good introduction on the piece around transactional versus transformation engagement. So transactional for being very much around, like, we do a survey, we do an action plan, but it's very much done to the organisation, as opposed to transformational, in as much as it's really embedded within the organisation. The language we use as a business implies that engagement is truly part of our culture, rather than just something we're doing as a tick box exercise. So David gave a quick overview of what that was all about, and then we were all encouraged to break off into separate groups and discuss from our experience and what we predict as well for 2013 and beyond, what transactional to transformational engagement looks like for different audiences. I was on the table looking at employees, so we put together a whole range of ideas around, as an employee, how does it feel to be in an organisation that has transactional versus transformational engagement, and what can we do to help organisations to make that transition to transformational engagement. So as I understand it, there's going to be all of the outputs from all of the roundtable discussions are going to be collated into one big informative document, which will no doubt be put on the Engage for Success website and be used to support the wider discussions around this topic of transformational engagement. But no, really good, really good session, high energy as ever. You know, and again, really good to connect with new people. There were quite a lot of new faces there on Friday, so great to introduce new people to that community.
Yes, and it's interesting that there were 100 people at this event, and we had, I think they sold out within a day or so of, not sold out because it was a free event, but, you know, people had booked on within sort of 24 hours of it being promoted, and we had a waiting list of 70, so the hope is we can find a bigger venue next time so that we can, you know, get more people along. And as you say, it was great to see that there were so many new people as well, so to show that things are really sort of spreading. Francis, your, I think your phone's not picking up quite properly. I don't know if there's a different way to hold it or somewhere else in the room to stand.
Is that any better? I'm actually
using
a headset, but if it becomes an issue, I can drop that and pick up the handset.
Yeah, it sort of comes in and out, and it's a bit blurry.
Okay, let me try that.
Is that better?
A little bit, yeah.
Is it?
I can't tell if you speak.
Right.
Yeah, it does sound a bit
clearer.
Oh,
yes, of course.
Yeah.
I say, is that better, and then pause. Hopefully that's better.
Excellent, though. That's fine. The other thing that was launched at the meeting, which is going to be sort of more widely launched in the coming weeks, was a report by Amy Armstrong from the Ashridge Business School about engagement through the CEO's eyes, which she presented to us. And that was fascinating to hear some of the thoughts that came through from that. I'm not sure how much we're supposed to share, given that there's a sort of proper launch of it, but I guess we've just told 100 people, so we probably can tell a few more. the most interesting insight for me with that was when they said that one of the chief execs that they'd interviewed talked about the wording being used in the whole engagement space in some ways was disengaging, which was really interesting because it's really hard to have the conversations without using those words. But you can see when you start to think about some of those things, you know, just for sort of the average employee, thinking about what does employee engagement mean anyway is probably, you know, it's not something that's on their radar anyway. But then what was particularly interesting, I thought, was that bit by calling it employee engagement, it automatically sort of makes people think it's about employees and not managers, who, of course, are employees as well. But we tend to think in terms of leaders and employees or managers and employees, don't we? So it was quite interesting just to think about that whole thing about language could make such a big difference.
Cool. No, she was just suggesting that there's a bit of a gap when you talk about employee engagement, and they're kind of power words, a bit us and them-ish.
Yes.
Which is why some organisations have adopted the term colleague engagement, for example.
And again, and that makes it sound less about, as you say, the them and us, the manager and employee. Colleague automatically sort of encompasses everybody, or it seems to more so than the word employee. Okay, so that was the Guru Group meeting, and you know, if you're interested in getting involved with the gurus, the gurus are the people who tend to work across a number of organisations in the space, and then we also have a practitioner group, which is people who are working within one organisation, driving the employee engagement within that organisation in one shape or form, either as a specialist within HR or actually as a line manager. And we, you know, really encourage more and more line managers who are perhaps operations or something other than HR to come and join in as well, to share best practice, and help us all learn more from, you know, the sharp end, as it were. So if you're interested in that, if you go to our website, engagesuccess.org, then you can click on the Join In orange circle button in the top right-hand corner of the website and find out a bit more about that. Okay, so let's move on to our interview for today with Francis, so that we can spend a bit more time talking about managers as far as engagement's concerned. So when David and Anita published their report and the movement was set up, they talk very much about there's not a one-size-fits-all, and it's not, you know, here's the model, go out and implement it. But what they did identify was the four, as they're called, enablers of engagement, and that they're really useful ways to approach and to look at organisations and how people are managed within those organisations. And if I just say that which the four are, and then I've got a little clip from David at actually one of your events, Francis, at in December, I think, talking about specifically the managing people. The manager bit of it, and then we'll sort of get into me asking you some questions. But before I do all of that, I'm just going to officially announce you. Now you've been speaking.
Okay.
So Frances is the head of employee engagement at Grassroots. It's one of the region's largest providers of employee and customer engagement solutions. And Frances is a member of the Engage for Success Task Force community. He's passionate about the importance of creating a culture of engagement from the shop floor to the boardroom. And he's worked with organisations like Shell, EE, Grant Thornton and British Gas. And he led the cross-industry team delivering content for the Engaging Managers section of the Engage for Success website. And he chairs the annual Employee Engagement Forum at the Institute of Directors. And he also has an honours degree in law and a diploma in motivation from the IPM. I can't decide whether it sounds like I'm on Blind Date or one of the other TV programmes. But there's my introduction to you. You really have been part of this movement right from the beginning, haven't you, Frances? So just sort of tell us why you were really pleased to get involved in the movement right from the beginning.
Okay, yeah, no, thanks, Jo. Thanks for that introduction. Well, it's a line of business that I've always been interested in. I mean, even when I studied law, I was interested in the areas of law to do with people, like family law, employment law, etc. But more recently at Grassroots, obviously, I manage a team who are responsible for employee engagement programs that we run for a number of organizations. We run an employee engagement forum at the IOD in London, and I met with David McLeod, I think 2 or 3 years ago now, to walk through some of the outputs of that that employee engagement forum. And it was really interesting because at those forums we get together groups of senior HR decision makers and practitioners from various organizations, and together they talk about what the challenges and barriers are to achieving a culture of engagement within their organizations, what their plans are for the forthcoming year, and obviously they network with each other and share ideas and thoughts on the topic as well. And that particular forum had some really interesting outputs on the barriers to engagement as perceived by various organisations from all sectors in the UK. So I met with McLeod and walked through some of that that output, which was of great interest, obviously, because it was very up-to-date views from the floor, as it were. And then since then, I've been very much involved in the movement, supporting on the website side of things. And Ali Godding in my team has been seconded to the social media, support on the social media side too. So she helped David through his first ever tweet.
She's brilliant on social media. She's just so, she seems to just do 3 times the work of most people.
No, it's great, inspiring. And it's a hugely important part of the whole movement. And as we're seeing more and more people moving to that as an arena to connect and to share information and knowledge. So yeah, it's been really important to have the social and the website of the whole Engage for Success Task Force movement expand in the way it has done over the last 2 years. I mean, when I first met with David and Kathy Brown, it was, we were just at the beginning stages of what the website might look like, and we supported them in shaping a few wireframes and, you know, what it could do and who would be using it, etc. And now here we are a year or so later with a fully fledged website which is being hit thousands of times a day. So it's great to look back and see the involvement that I've been able to have in it, and energizing too, you know, because I think everyone that's involved in the movement would agree that it can sometimes be quite an isolated, siloed role within an organization, but to actually see the profile of it being raised to the extent of the breakfast in November, where we had the 25-26 CEOs of all of these leading organizations all nailing their colors to the mast and saying, yeah, we are absolutely for this topic of engagement. We completely agree with the evidence paper that Tanith Dodgers put together with M&S and the team. And yeah, this is the way to go. This is the way forwards for 2013 and beyond. So yeah, it's a great place to be involved in. And I'm looking forward to continuing involvement going forward.
Excellent. So to go back to the 4 enablers then, just to let the listeners know what those are, that they were identified as having a strong strategic narrative, employee voice, ensuring that that's available throughout the organisation, if you like, and having organisational integrity, So there's no sort of say-do gap. So they say one thing and then do something completely different. And then, of course, the fourth one, which we're talking about today, which is about having engaging managers, so people who are able to sort of deliver and work within and create that engagement. So I'm just going to play the little clip from David at your event, and then we'll carry on with the interview, assuming it works. Fingers crossed.
That if we're going to engage our people, we really do have to have a story about where we're going and why we're going there that people can understand, free of jargon, free of management speak, something you could tell a friend down the pub or over a glass of wine, that really kind of makes sense and gives you some urge to be a part of this organisation because we know what we're doing. And that the person who manages me, you know, doesn't need to go to Harvard for 3 years. I mean, the person who manages me does some sensible things sensibly well. I'm focused on what would be on what success would look like. I'm treated as a human being, not as a human resource, and I'm constantly coached and stretched.
Okay, so I like the bit about don't have to go to Harvard and all that sort of thing. I think sometimes we get all excited about the technical side of things, but actually some people just are natural engagers of people, aren't they, and are really good at doing that, whatever their role is, whether they're trained, skilled or everything else or not. So just to sort of go from there then, why is engaging, having an engaging manager or having engaging managers within your business, why is it important?
Okay, I mean, it's a good question. I suppose it goes back to why is engagement important anyway? And we spend so much of our time at work that if we're in an environment which is disengaging and demotivating, then that's obviously going to have a huge impact on us as individuals and our families, etc. There's some really interesting statistics on the impact of a disengaging workforce on wider issues outside of the workplace. So, you know, I think that plus all of the other evidence around engagement makes it clear that this is something that's important. But not only that, but, you know, it's the person who manages us that we spend a lot of time with as well, and they have a direct influence on how we might be performing in the workplace and how we might feel about our performance in the workplace. You know, it's some really, again, interesting statistics on the impact of having a disengaging manager. I think one of them suggests that if you consistently are working under a management environment which is disengaging, your chances of having heart disease are increased by 30%. So, you know, there's clearly the stress that can be caused by working for a manager who is extremely disengaging or even, dare I say it, bullying, can have a big impact on one's own personal health, one's own personal sense of well-being, and one's level of engagement with both one's role and the organisation that you're working for. And I've heard it once said, I think it was David said this, I heard him say this last week in a presentation, that the manager provides the lens through which the employees view the organisation. By that we mean that really the manager is the final point of contact between this big organisational strategy and what we're trying to achieve as a business and the actual individuals that are responsible for implementing that. It's the line manager that has really the role of motivating the people behind that and galvanising them behind that vision and then encouraging them to deliver against those goals and objectives. And of course, if the manager, him or herself, is disengaged with that vision, they're not going to effectively communicate that or engage their team in delivering that. So there's a whole range of reasons why the line manager's interaction is so important. But I'd say largely it's because we spend so much of our time, they have such a big influence on our day-to-day working life.
And from a wider organisational point of view, one of the things I talk about a lot is that chief executives quite often will say and probably appear to be engaged themselves because that's the nature of their job. You know, they know what their strategic narrative is and everything else because that's, you know, intrinsic to what they do. A lot of them also believe that it's important, but sometimes they're not very good at doing that themselves, you know, creating that engaging environment for their subordinates. And they're even worse at actually helping their own line managers to engage their people. So having individuals who are actually really good at engaging people is getting in at a lower, deeper level, if you like, and getting that right, even if it doesn't always come from the top, which, I mean, we always talk about it coming from the top, But I think if you've got people who are naturally engaging, you know, they talk about people lead managers and not organisations. So, you know, it's so important, isn't it, that that direct line actually has the skill to really, you know, keep people engaged with what they're doing. So the characteristics of an engaging manager then, what do they look like? I guess some of us would say that we really like our manager because, and we wouldn't talk about them being engaging, but it probably they are, but we wouldn't define it as that. So how would you define an engaging manager?
Well, there's been a lot of research done into what an engaging manager looks like. I mean, Professor Katie Truss at the University of Kent Business School has done a huge amount of work into this area. Also, there's a great report called The Engaging Manager by Dillis Robinson and Sue Hayday of the Institute of Employment Studies. And again, that sets out what is often found to be common characteristics of an engaging manager. I mean, just to summarise quickly some of those characteristics, managers, they focus their people on the goal at hand. So managers are very good at setting clear goals and targets for their teams. They have a very clear vision of the strategy of where they want their organisation and their team to go to, and are able to disseminate those goals through to the individuals in the teams. And that obviously means that they are good communicators. Now, often communication is a challenge in any organisation. I'm sure everyone listening will have examples of that in their organisation where communication has been a challenge or fallen over or gone completely wrong. But, you know, the manager is really responsible for that line of communication to the individuals within his or her team. So they're able to communicate the vision, communicate the individual goals that people have to achieve that. And then within that, obviously, they're also able to provide updates on progress on how an individual is doing within their role. So they're able to actually coach, provide feedback, both positive and developmental. They're able to spot opportunities for additional feedback or coaching that might be needed, and provide that level of support from their own experience that they can draw on within the organisation. Another thing that managers do, another characteristic, is that they do treat people as individuals. Now, this isn't about necessarily knowing everything about everyone in your team, you know, their private life, etc. No, that's not what we're expecting, of course, from a manager. But you know, you do recognise the importance of building rapport with your team. Understanding a bit about their individual preferences. This is a classic example in terms of reward and recognising your team. You don't buy a bottle of wine for someone in your team to say well done when actually they've just decided to give up wine for Lent or whatever it might be, or you know, they're a teetotal. So you've got to know something about your team. You've got to know about the people in your team, and not be so kind of, I'm the manager, I'm the leader here, you know, I don't need to know who you are because you're just a human resource. We're dealing with people, we're managing people, and therefore we've got to treat our people as people and know something about them. So there's that piece as well, which is a common characteristic in terms of good managers.
It's interesting. I saw an article over the weekend. It was an open letter written by the departing chief exec of an organisation called Groupon. I don't know if you've heard of them in the social media world. Yeah, and it caused a bit of debate about people saying, oh, well, you know, he was rubbish anyway or whatever. But there were lots of people who were saying, you know, really good things about him. And basically the letter was saying that he was leaving and he hadn't been able to, you know, make it work or to enable the organisation to make it work, but that he wasn't, he didn't want the people left behind to think that they'd done a bad job type thing. And I thought it was a really interesting letter from the point of view of engagement, because a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, you shouldn't burn your bridges when you leave an organisation, and they were really focusing on that, the fact that he hadn't burnt his bridges. But for me, it was all about the fact that he was sort of buoying up the people that were still there and actually saying, you're all good guys, you know, things aren't working at the moment and somebody else needs to help you to do that things differently. But individually, you know, you're doing a really good job sort of thing, and don't see me leaving as that, you know, as a negative to you. And it may be that that was just a load of old rubbish and he was just trying to sort of keep his, you know, PR going and everything else. But if it wasn't, I think, you know, what he said, his team must appreciate. I don't know what your take was on it.
Yeah, I mean, I read that letter on the internet as well, and, you know, it's amusing. So elements of it, he starts off by saying, you know, after 4.5 years, intense and wonderful years as CEO, I've decided I'd like to spend more time with my family. And then he says, Just kidding, I was fired today. So that's one way of dealing with bad news. And, you know, so it's slightly tongue-in-cheek, and I suppose that humour is often a great way of getting a message across in a different way, which actually gets the message across clearly to people, but also is a bit quirky and a bit odd. So there's certainly that about it. But yeah, I can see why people are a bit controversial. But it's very human. He's clearly just saying, look, guys, this is how it is. He's being very honest. Some would say perhaps a bit too honest. But I think as managers, we've got to be prepared to show that human side to our people. But at the same time, we've got to be prepared to lead and take brave decisions. And, you know, that's one of the I've often heard it said that, you know, we're not just managers, we're also leaders. And I think that's a really important difference there. There is a big difference between a leader, I believe, and a manager. And I think aspirationally, every manager of people should be also looking to lead those people. You know, we're not there just in a role just to, you know, push the paper and do the reviews and do a bit of recognition and do a bit of communication. We're actually also there to lead our teams, and leadership often means taking brave decisions. I've heard one person say leadership is about taking people where they don't want to go. Well, you know, well, that's one thing if you take it into an army situation, but nonetheless, leadership often means taking people to a place where they're not currently at, maybe moving people out of their comfort zone, and it takes some degree of bravery. So although I can understand the CEO of Groupon's approach, which is, you know, very clear and very candid, there's also an element in which, as leaders, we have to be able to be brave in where we take our people and be brave at giving feedback and be brave at taking feedback as well. And that's the kind of, I suppose, the human side of management.
Yes, that's true. Although I guess if he was sort of saying bad things about them, then they, you know, it wouldn't mean anything really anyway, because everyone would expect that to be the case, sort of thing. So, but anyway, it'd be interesting to see if there's some employee feedback on that letter. I didn't see any when I was reading the stuff, but it'd be interesting to see if there was. So are there any sort of final hints and tips for managers to become more engaging if they want to be and they don't feel they are?
Well, I mean, I think that ask your people. You know, ask your people what 360 degree feedback is. A very powerful tool, and it can be used both in terms of, you know, understanding what your people think about you, but also in terms of developing your own skills and where your kind of blind spots are. So I'd say one tip is ask, you know, if there isn't a 360 degree feedback process within your organisation, ask for it. And it doesn't have to be formalised. You can just say, you know, ask your team for views and feedback. They listen to that and act upon it. There's loads of management books out there, obviously. I wouldn't recommend go and read them all because you never get through them all. But there are some great reports out there on the internet. There's some great case studies on the Engage for Success website. I mean, I created and supported the team, created a lot of that case study work on the Engage for Success website. Go to that, have a look at it, read through some of those case studies, because there's some great examples out there of what engaging managers are doing day to day in their roles.
Yeah. Excellent. That's great. So, well, thank you. We never have enough time on these shows to actually really get as stuck in as we'd like to. I feel like we're sort of just starting to scratch the surface, so that maybe we could get you to come on another show in future. But thank you very much for your thoughts and your advice today, Francis.
Not at all. It's been a pleasure.
Excellent. So just to let people know what's coming up, we have... a show next week, which is being hosted by John Ingham, and it's all about engagement and employee ownership. And he'll be interviewing Ian Hasdell, the CEO of the Association of Employee Ownership. So that's a good one to look out for. And there's lots of events happening in April in various places around the country, Birmingham, Slough, Wiltshire, and so on. And then there's a webinar on the 17th of April at 11 o'clock focused on integrity and leadership. So hope to see you somewhere around the employee engagement movement. See you next time.
Engage for Success Radio. raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there is a better way to work.